Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
It's a Wednesday, and that means it's time to break things down in the minor league system with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com, website that's available to fans 365 days a year. So, thecardinalnation.com, we'll visit with Brian Walton in just a moment. This is presented by Lordo's Diamonds. See their selection, lordosdiamonds.com. You walk through their doors at 9222 Clayton Road. And when you walk through, you will see Jimmy Lordo. He's there to help you out. Mention my name or Scoops. Get additional money off on your purchase. I have a new sponsor to the website. So excited about this, but the good folks at Westport Social. Westport Social, this Sunday, they'll open their doors for a brunch at 9 a.m. If you're a soccer fan and you want to take in the Women's World Cup and the championship game, that's at 10. They'll have all their TVs on. They'll have a brunch for you. They're going to open up early at 9 a.m. And also members of STLFC, the players, front office, coaching staff, all will be there to mingle with fans, take pictures. If you're a soccer fan, get out there, get your brunch, and check out the women take home the World Cup this Sunday, Westport Social at 9 a.m. Coming up with Brian Walton, we'll get into some of the guys making news down in the minor leagues. Brian, on his website, has named the minor league pitcher and also player of the month. We'll get into Randy Arozarena. He's had a really nice start to 2019. We'll talk about the international signing period, what it meant for the St. Louis Cardinals, and other players that are making some news and noise down in the minor leagues. It's all coming up on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com and something that we do every Wednesday, even in the offseason. Wednesdays with Walton is coming your way next. More features keep rolling out on the Schnucks Rewards app, all designed to simplify shopping. Your rewards points still continue to pile up, earning you money off your next purchase. But now you can create customizable and shareable shopping lists. You can shop for your family's dietary needs with the new wellness icons. Gluten-free, organic, heart smart, it's all covered. You can even find exclusive savings in a single touch with over 100 weekly coupons. Schnucks Rewards. Download it today. Well, it is a Wednesday. That means it's Wednesdays with Walton as we visit here on July 3rd, just a day before the 4th of July. And you probably think that thecardinalnation.com might take a day off tomorrow. It's a holiday. Nope. Brian Walton up late last night watching game one between the Cardinals and the Seattle Mariners. He'll be up late tonight, and he'll be making sure the website is ready to go, thecardinalnation.com, tomorrow. And it's there 365 every single day, 365 days a year to provide content for Cardinal fans and also those that love the minor leagues. Brian, I know it was a long night for you watching the game, but you stayed up with us. Thanks for joining us this morning.
I did, Dan, but I have to admit, I was working at the same time because yesterday was July 2nd, which, of course, is the big international, first day of the international signing season, and the Cardinals did not announce their 23 signees until in the evening. So I was working on getting that content up before I could go to bed with a clean conscience.
Well, I understand. You're a hard worker, and your site is amazing. I'm going to get into those signings in just a moment, but I just want to get your reaction from those that cover the minor leagues and your colleagues that see this day in and day out. There was an international signing by the Yankees for a 16-year-old over $5 million. What was your take on that?
Well, you know, it's a different world now, Dan. You know, the days are gone in which teams could overspend significantly and not have significant penalties. Now, every team has a hard cap, and it varies based on the economic status of the team. But the most teams have about just under $6.5 million to spend. Now, teams can trade, acquire signing bonus from other teams, but you spend $5 million on one guy, that's pretty much your year, so you better be darn sure that he's going to come through. And one of the challenges that we see in the international market, and interestingly enough, Baseball America stopped listing their trying to rank prospects before the international draft because these kids are being lined up by teams so young, they're not participating in showcases, you don't get any look at them. So they're trying to guess what the major league potential is of a kid that maybe hasn't been seen by a lot of scouts since he was 14 or 15 years old. And it's, you know, it's a major crapshoot.
Do you think this is going to change going forward, the rules of the international signing period for Major League Baseball?
Well, sort of like the designated hitter in the National League, the concept of an international draft has been knocked around for probably 20 years. And there were lots of folks who were pushing against it, especially in the countries. But, you know, ultimately, that's what has to be figured out by Major League Baseball to get control of this international game. Because, you know, scouting 13 and 14 year olds and trying to guess what they're going to be like 10 years later when they become a man ready for the major leagues is just, it's crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's darn near impossible. As you mentioned, the Cardinals 20 plus international signings. I mentioned them during the game last night, at least went through the positions. Your take on the 23?
Well, they weren't the high profile names according to people who were talking, although the Cardinals, you know, seemed to be pretty proud of two of the Venezuelans that they signed, an infielder and a pitcher. The Cardinals, you know, in signing 23 players on day one, that's more than I've ever seen them do, even in the year when they overspent, the 2016-17 year, where they, you know, went crazy and spent, I forget now, $12, $15 million. So they're clearly going for quantity, you know, trying to figure out if there's a diamond or two in the rough. And, you know, guys like Oscar Taveras were not, you know, well-known and highly thought of when they were signed. So, you know, with two teams now in the Dominican Republic, the Cardinals can afford to invest in more players. And by the way, most of these 20 of the 23 that were announced yesterday won't begin play until next season. So that gives the Cardinals time to work them out in the academy and participate in instructional league later on and, you know, get ready for their first play in 2020.
Yeah, it's really interesting how this whole thing comes about and how it works. But they did decide to do that. Give me your best, you know, examples of guys that they've had success with in this market here in recent history with the St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, you know, the Cardinals really haven't had tons of success. I mean, the two guys that stand out on the pitching side, of course, are Alex Reyes and Carlos Martinez. And Martinez was well known. He had originally signed with the Red Sox, but because of some discrepancies regarding his family name in his documents, the Red Sox let him go and the Cardinals picked him up on the rebound. Alex Reyes was known as a guy who had, you know, had pitched in high school in the U.S. in New Jersey, but then went back to Dominican so he could avoid the draft and basically choose his own organization this way. But the Cardinals, you know, like I said, spent a lot of money in the 2016-17 timeframe and not much to come through. A couple of the guys are older guys that are probably at the top of that group, and that's outfielders Adolis Garcia and Randy Arozarena, who are both Cubans. And Garcia was old enough, he actually was you know, exempt from the international signing limits. But the point is, the Cardinals spent a lot of money in 2016-17, and so far, most of those guys really aren't panning out yet. But, you know, there's still time.
Yeah, I want to get into those two guys, if we can, for a moment. In particular, Randy Arozarena. He's having a pretty good year, isn't he?
Yeah, Randy Arozarena, he's the younger of the two. Adolis Garcia is known for lots of strikeouts, lots of power, great arm in right field. Arozarena is a more balanced ball player. He can run, he can hit, he can do everything pretty well. He got a shot at Memphis last year. He tore up Springfield, Double-A Springfield, in 2018. He got a shot at Memphis, didn't do so well. This year, back at Double-A, and, you know, really dominated in the Texas League, and now he's got his chance in Triple-A in the first, I don't know, 18 or 20 games. You know, he's hitting very well. He's not yet on the 40-man roster, but, you know, you look at the pecking order behind Tyler O'Neill's and Lane Thomas's. You know, Garcia's on the 40 man, but, you know, he hasn't been consistent enough that he'd get a call up. You know, there might be a way there if Arozarena continues to hit like he has, that, you know, he might get a shot, you know, with St. Louis before the year's out.
Yeah, it would be interesting. And I think it's a way to show that you are doing well in the international market if you can bring those guys up and show as an example of what you're doing. You mentioned the name Alex Reyes. What have you heard about Alex here and his recovery and trying to come back and get back in the rotation and see what he can do?
Well, he's with the Memphis club, so he's, you know, he didn't have to go down to Jupiter to rehab. And so, you know, he was supposed to miss a few starts. Yeah, I haven't seen him back in the, you know, the projected starters yet, but it should be, I would think, within a week or so, unless there's been some kind of setback. You know, we should see Alex Reyes pitching again. And, you know, it's been a frustrating year for him. First it was the walks, then it was the home runs. Then it was, you know, the movement on his pitches were, causing him to get hit around. So, you know, hopefully this latest setback, you know, isn't going to set him back further and he can get back on the track. But at this point, you know, even before Reyes was hurt, it didn't look like he was close to being ready to step into the St. Louis rotation.
Yeah, very disappointing. Although you had a couple of guys that have stepped on the mound, and that's the two top pitchers that were picked by the Cardinals in the recent draft. How did they fare?
Oh, yeah. Zach Thompson and Tony Losi both pitched yesterday in the Gulf Coast League and, you know, had a real nice outing. Of course, the Cardinal Nation has a reporter in all the minor league affiliates, including, you know, on the backfields in Jupiter for these Gulf Coast League games. So what our reporter, Paul Ivey, said was that Thompson threw 17 pitches, 10 of which were strikes. The interesting thing is fastball was 93, but his curveball was 73. So we're talking about a 20-mile-an-hour differentiation. If his, you know, arm movement is consistent, you know, that's a devastating combination. But he also, in addition to those two pitches, threw his slider and his changeup, and they were at 83. He struck out a couple guys, but gave up a triple, got hit over Trey Fletcher's head. So, you know, any pitcher makes mistakes, they're going to get tattooed. But he got out of his inning with no runs allowed. And then Losey followed. And, you know, the Cardinals had these guys started. They were kind of like openers in that they pitched the first two innings before the regular starter took over. So Losey came in, and he had a little trouble. He threw like seven straight balls. The pitching coach came out, talked to him, and all of a sudden, you know, the switch flipped, and like 17 of the next 19 pitches were strikes, and he had a very strong inning with a couple of strikeouts. So, you know, the Cardinals typically, with the college pitchers like these two guys in their first year, start them off in a Gulf Coast League, low-pressure situation, pitch an inning or two a week at most, allow them to get some experience. They might move up to Palm Beach, you know, in August or, you know, near the end of the season to get a little bit of experience, but they're not going to throw more than maybe 15 or 20 innings this year because they've already thrown a full college schedule. And then the plan would be next spring, you know, they start off fresh you know, move to a more appropriate level, probably Class A.
Are you ready for the boys of summer? Well, pull up a front row seat at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill for all the Cardinals action this season at one of their 11 area locations. During every Cardinals game, you can enjoy the new Hot Shots Triple Play Special featuring a large pizza, order of boneless wings, and a bucket of Bud Family bottles, available for a great price. Also, be sure to join the party on the last Tuesday of each month this season for Hot Shots Ticket Tuesday and your shot to score a pair of tickets to an upcoming game. Don't forget to score $1 Hot Shots Tacos any day after the Cardinals score 8 or more runs. Hot Shots, proud home of Cardinal fans since 1990. Your home for all the games, all the time. Find a Hot Shots location near you. HotShotsNet.com. Hair Saloon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. 16 locations. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage. Hair Saloon for Men. 16 locations. There's one near you. Hair Saloon for Men.
What do you think of the opener? You know, we saw it last night with the Mariners. We saw it earlier, the big leagues with Texas. I don't know if I really like it. I understand why you do it. But what do you think about using an opener at the major league level?
Well, like Jim Edmonds last night, I sort of like scratch my head about it sometimes. I guess my take is if you look around at the teams that are doing it, they're typically teams that don't have strong rotations. And so they've got to resort, I don't want to call it a gimmick, but they've got to resort to other tactics to try to get their pitchers, you know, through the games without getting, you know, beaten up. And my point is if you have five solid starters, you don't have to mess around with that stuff.
Period. End of story. TheCardinalNation.com has just awarded the pitcher and player of the month for June. Who do you have?
Yeah, we go through a process every month where we select our own pitcher and the player of the month, and we typically get them out right on the first and the second so that we do it before the Cardinals' own picks because the organization does their picks. And they tend to look more at the top prospects where we look at every player on an even ground. We look at their numbers and, you know, whatever level they're at, we look at their stats. Interesting guy. A former 30th rounder, Alex Fagaldi, is our pitcher of the month for the second straight month. Last month, he, you know, was at Palm Beach, was extremely successful, got named a Florida State League All-Star, moved up to Springfield, and did not miss a beat. Fagaldi struck out 21 batters in the Florida State League and with a 1.99 ERA. And then when he came up to Springfield, he made three very strong starts, four starts, 29 in the third innings, 2-0 with a 0.31 ERA. So he only allowed one run the entire month in his first month in the Texas League. So Alex Fagaldi, interesting guy to watch.
And how about your player of the month?
Well, again, we took guys who are sort of the long shots. John Nogowski, interesting guy, signed by the Cardinals a couple years ago, had been an Oakland draft pick, released, had to go to independent ball. Cardinals brought him in, a high on base guy, excellent glove man at first base. Not tons of power, but it looked like Nagowski was blocked at Springfield. He spent almost 2 years there because of Ronel Ravello at Memphis. But now that, you know, Ravello can play corner outfield as well, Memphis was short on outfielders, a combination of their injuries and injuries in St. Louis. So they found a way to get Nagowski and Ravello on the same roster. And so last month, of course, Ravello spent a few days with St. Louis, but Nagowski batted 410. Ravello batted 409 last month for the Memphis Redbirds. So the fact that the Redbirds, you know, haven't been winning a lot of games hasn't been because of these two guys.
On Sunday, it'll be the Futures game, and Dylan Carlson will take part in that for St. Louis. And also, Nolan Gorman. Just your thoughts on those two being given that great honor of being a part of the Futures game.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious those are the top two prospects in the system. Laris Montero, the third baseman at Springfield, has been injured all year, and he was right up with that group. Malcolm Nunez was sort of pushing that, but then he stumbled at Peoria and is now injured at Johnson City, so he's not even playing right now. So in my ranking, Carlson has slipped past Nolan Gorman because Gorman's, you know, really struggled since the 1st of May. He had a, you know, very outstanding April. But then, you know, since May, he hasn't been hitting well, batting under 200, but still got a promotion to Palm Beach. And it's early, but, you know, Palm Beach is a tough place to hit for power guys. So, you know, the Cardinals took a little bit of risk moving Gorman up, but he and Dylan Carlson are definitely the right guys to represent the organization in the Futures game.
And for people that head to thecardinalnation.com, by the way, we do this every Wednesday on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, but thecardinalnation.com, what do you offer, Brian?
Well, pretty much all the things we've talked about today have been written up in articles in depth, whether the, you know, the details of the pitchers in the Gulf Coast League and what their velocities were and their offerings to these monthly awards, as well as our daily in-depth team reports. Each day of the week, 7 days a week, there's an in-depth report on one of the Cardinals minor league teams. So today's the Palm Beach report. Palm Beach Cardinals started off very well in the first half, almost made the playoffs, but are struggling in the second half because he gave up a lot of their good pitching. So anyway, we've got tons of content. We posted, I think, six articles like just in the last 12 hours alone. So the content's there every day, all aspects of the Cardinals minor league system.
Brian, thank you, and we'll catch you up next Wednesday. Have a great 4th of July.
And to you, Dan.